Hey, this is Ryan Thomas. Thanks so much for listening to On the Road and supporting Faith Radio. You are just the very best, and we appreciate you so much. Enjoy the show.
Discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short. I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short. I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
Newlywed Laura Story thought she had control over the great life ahead of her. She followed Jesus and had a promising new gig as a worship leader. Why wouldn't God want to fulfill her dreams? Then came a shocking diagnosis and a season with seemingly one huge challenge after another. But along the way, Laura discovered something life-changing about where joy, real, lasting joy, really comes from. And she emerged with a fresh and reshaped perspective. Her new single, I Give Up, tells the story and is available now. And her book of the same name releases across the land on Tuesday. Laura is the much-beloved recording artist and songwriter behind hits like Blessings and Mighty to Save and joins us on the road today. Hello, Laura. What a treat to have you here today.
What a treat to get to talk to you guys. Thanks so much for taking time.
You know, the way they do these for you, I know you have quite an impressive array of phone interviews back-to-back, but you sound like you still have the power of speech.
What? No, it's not until later today when I'm trying to, like, remember my kid's name. After a day of phone interviews, I'm like, which one are you? I know you're one of the boys, but I can't quite place your name.
Well, let's just be utterly truthful here, right? This world in which we live is often nuts. We want to feel like we're in control of something, even if it's just a matter of clasping our worries as tightly as we can. But yeah. Here you are inviting us to give up control. What is going on here, Laura?
I know. It wasn't really a topic that I felt like I chose as much as it chose me, you know, which is kind of the norm for when God wants to teach you something. He usually doesn't necessarily focus on the thing that you sign up for. You know, he's not into that as much as teaching you the lesson you need to learn. And the lesson that God has been teaching me the past few years has been trying to learn to release control of my life, because I have bought into that lie that the tighter I can grip the things in my life, whether it's my time, my possessions, the people in my life, my family, my relationships, mm-hmm. my future, all of that, if I can just get a hold on that, then I'll have a more peaceful life. And a lot of us live that way day to day, but the truth is, it's not what Scripture teaches, and it's not even realistic. We can never really gain control of our lives, but it's really when we learn to let go and trust that when we place the things, people, time, all of it into God's hands, we're actually making a decision to trust much more capable hands. And hands who love us very, very much, more than we can imagine.
Now, before we really get to where the book sets us up, you just have such a fresh perspective and voice in your songwriting. And so just can't really resist asking you how you first came to love music.
Oh, well, you know, I didn't grow up in a very musical home. My dad was a physician and my mom was a school teacher. And I just remember being a kid and starting to play piano, and it was pretty early on in my piano lessons that my mom was willing to put me into that I began to notice that I was not as interested in playing what Bach had written as much as I wanted to play what I had written, which, you know, I thought at the time it was just me being, you know, normal insubordinate 10-year-old, but I over the years have come to so cherish, you know, all the classics and, but also to see that God really, even at a young age, was kind of birthing within me this new song you wanted me to sing. And so it's been a privilege. Also, as someone who grew up in church, the fact that God has allowed me to write worship songs and to be part of that rich wealth of resources for the church, that is probably the greatest privilege when people ask me, what's the greatest honor you've had, you know, and it's never those awards that you win. As Christian artists, those are kind of like, oh, cool, thanks, I appreciate it. But the greatest honor is getting to write a song and the church say, this has been helpful in us expressing praise to God, or this has been helpful in, you know, working through grief in my life. That's by far the greatest privilege.
We're introduced to your story here as a newlywed with this bright future, a great job ahead of you. Can you just paint a little bit of that picture a bit more for us? You know, where you were with the musical awesomeness by that point and with your young family before really these real challenges start to make themselves known.
Well, Martin and I had just gotten married, and I remember this clear as day. It was 4 days before our wedding, and I had been writing songs, kind of working on a little CD that, you know, if you listen to it, you would probably not agree that it was, you would go, oh, that's, did you really mean to record that? But we were working on it, and I had gotten reconnected with my high school sweetheart, who was doing college ministry, campus ministry in Spartanburg, South Carolina. And I had been doing this Nashville thing, trying to get signed, you know, on a record label or whatever I was trying to do. So when Martin and I got reconnected and I began to serve alongside him with this college ministry, I feel like it was the Lord kind of showing me what real ministry is. And not that any of the Nashville stuff was wrong, but, you know, getting to sit down with kids and talk to them about the truths of the Bible. And so anyway, so 4 days before we got married, I got this call. I kind of put the whole music thing on the back burner and thought, Lord, this is really, I just want to invest in people. I want to teach the Bible to people. And I got this call from a guy named Ed Cash, who had been a friend of mine from, we had done Young Life together in the Carolinas. And he was recording this not so well known at the time artist named Chris Tomlin. It was Chris's first record. And he said, yeah, Chris is looking for another single. And remember that song you shared with me called Indescribable? And he said, would you want to, you know, would you have any interest in Chris recording this? And at the time I was thinking, you know, I don't even know if I'll end up doing music long term anyway. So have at it, you know, go for it. So it was neat to see. That was kind of the beginning. Those were the early years. And within the first 2 years, Martin was diagnosed with a brain tumor, which has been a huge part of our story. And his tumor, you know, we had surgery to remove it, but still had a lot of residual brain injury because of the surgery and the tumor. And so he lives with disabilities, and it's an interesting life. It's certainly not the life that we pictured, but there's a sweetness about it because, man, we are leaning on Jesus every day. We do not know what we are doing. We have four kids, and I'm still doing this traveling all over the place, you know, music thing, and so it's kind of a like a three-ring circus. But we are learning that that the key to joy and the peace, it really is this whole giving up thing. It's learning to surrender and say it's okay that it looks different than what I expected. It's an opportunity for me to trust God.
The much-beloved recording artist behind songs like Mighty to Save and Blessings with the new single, I Give Up, available now in the book of the same name, releasing across the land on Tuesday. Laura Story is with us. And because of the generosity of her publisher, we actually have three editions of the book to give away. If you'd like to enter a drawing to win a copy of the book, you can head to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, send us a note and say, hey, I want one of those books. So take me through the chronology a little bit then. This just shocking, I'm sure, diagnosis for your husband. How soon after that then does the news come that your dear unborn little one is going to have to deal with a health challenge upon arrival?
So that just happened just a year ago. So it's interesting. We had three kids at the time, and we were about to have our fourth. And so I went in. Okay, here's the funny chronology. I was 2 weeks into writing this book called I Give Up, okay? I was knowing that God wanted me to write a book about surrender, and all of a sudden I'm sitting in the doctor's office at my 38-week ultrasound, and as the sweet ultrasound tech is doing the little wandy thing over my belly. We're looking up at the screen. I don't even know what to call that thing. But so we're looking at the screen, and both of us notice something on little Timothy's face. And we can immediately tell that something was wrong. And so she called the doctor in, and he diagnosed him right there with cleft lip. And, you know, when I think about, I remember I was immediately crying. And then I was mad at myself for crying because I thought, man, there's far worse things that could be wrong with my child. You know, the doctor could have said that he had cancer. And ends up, Timothy is the healthiest. Yeah, he was born with cleft lip, but also just the healthiest little baby you could ever imagine. Top of the growth chart, top of the weight chart. This boy loves to eat. But as I'm sitting in that doctor's office, I think part of the shock of it was, this is my fourth child. I've been there, done that. The sense of control that I had, all of a sudden, as I'm looking at the ultrasound screen, that just faded away. And I was reminded of, I am not in control of this pregnancy any more than I am ultimately in control of the lifelong health of my other three children. This, I am not in control of this life. And so it was that opportunity of saying, you know, God, I'm going to have to come to a place where I trust you more with my life, or I'm just going to be a nervous, anxious, worrying wreck for the rest of my life.
Hmm. Wow. What a powerful story today with Laura's story here on the road for Faith Radio. So you talk about learning to wait on God, and the fact, I love how you discuss this, that it's a daily decision, that it's not instantaneous. We decide it once, and then that's the decision for the rest of our lives, that it's a daily decision. But this, it's amazing that you say that you had started to write this before you learned this about Timothy, because obviously then, in a way, you had to learn it all over again. I mean, is that a fair way to say?
Oh, definitely. And surrender, you know, surrender's kind of kinfolk with forgiveness. They're very similar in the sense that you can make a decision to forgive someone, or you can make a decision to surrender your life to Christ. But the truth is, that decision is just the first step of 1,000 decisions made in 1,000 different moments. It's, you know, as you're going throughout the day and things are happening to you throughout the day, deciding right then whether you're going to respond through, you know, white knuckling it, becoming angry that things are interruptions in your life rather than opportunities. There's so many different decisions that we make that really make surrender a lifestyle rather than just a one-time decision.
How did you find the strength to continue to make that decision? You talk about meditating on God's word as being one facet of that. Can you just take, obviously, you wrote a book about it, so there's a lot here to this answer, but take us through a little bit of what that looked like for you.
Yeah, I'd say time in God's word, because you think about, you know, what Romans 12 is the first thing that comes to mind, where it talks about don't be conformed to this world. And that in and of itself, just a reminder of, you know, we're not really stagnant beings. We are always being conformed to something. We're always being changed by something.
Whoa.
So if we're not spending time in God's word, then the world is transforming us. The world is molding us, whether that's, you know, this, what we're looking at on Facebook, what we're watching on Netflix. We are constantly having our minds affected by this. And so if we're not actively choosing to not conform to the world, then we're lost. But it says you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's talking about, you know, really engaging with the word of God on a daily basis. I am certainly not perfect at this by any means. I have four little kids that love to wake up really early, but I do know, that the way that we're called to live as believers is contrary to how the world lives.
Mm.
And that's just the truth. And there's something freeing, very freeing in that. When you think about the world prizes self-sufficiency and independence. And I meet so many people who are buckling under that pressure. They just feel like they're not enough. They feel like they can't be enough. They're not smart enough or patient enough or skinny enough or whatever it is. But the call of God is, you don't have to be. He loves dependence. He loves weakness. And when we get to the point of saying, I give up from trying to be the person the world tells me I need to be, I can only be who God wants me to be, and that's enough.
Wow, some truth being thrown here this afternoon. Laura Story is with us, the much-beloved recording artist behind songs like Mighty to Save and Blessings. The new single is called I Give Up, available now. The book of the same name, releasing across the land on Tuesday. We've got three copies of the book to give away. If you'd like to sign up to win a copy of the book, you can head to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, send us a note from the form right there and say, I'd love to win a copy of Laura's book. Well, how do we come to a place, considering our losses, that they can be God's gain, a way to display his glory? I mean, obviously a huge question to say, how do we come to that place? But perhaps, how do we begin to move towards that place?
Well, yeah, and surrender and giving up, it's an activity. It's something to strive towards. But more than anything, it's probably just a posture. It's just how we choose to respond to the things that happen in our life. When I think about, you know, I'm a mom of little kids. And when I think about what my kids are going to remember about, you know, being raised in our home, I think, yeah, they'll probably remember what we went through. But I think more than that, they'll remember how we walked through what we walked through. Does that make sense? Mm. Like, they will remember, if I choose to have peace in a hard situation, they'll remember that as a peaceful situation. If I choose to have joy, you know, when so-and-so loses his job or when a health crisis comes, they'll remember that, yeah, as a hard time, but still as a joyful time. So I think it's making those choices to respond with this posture of surrender, because he's not up there on his throne wringing his hands when these things happen that we didn't expect. And it's learning to come to a place, you know, like I love Jesus's prayer in the garden, where he says, you know, God, this is not the way that I want it to go. And I'd love for this to pass from me if there's any other way, but not my will, but yours be done. And that's the kind of person I want. I want to come to a place of saying, you know, I don't understand this, but I trust you enough that I'm going to follow you even though I don't understand it. And I want to say, not my plans, Lord, but yours be done.
Well, the companion song and book is just a really cool combo. What came first in the chicken and the egg scenario? Which one was the first idea?
Well, strangely enough, it was the book. So this is the biggest project I've ever done. So it was this book called I Give Up that we embarked upon. And then the publisher said, hey, would you be okay doing a Bible study alongside of it? And I was like, oh, that'd be great. And they said, okay, would you be willing to do a teaching component for the Bible study? So then we did five teaching sessions that, you know, I'm just kind of teaching through some of the material. And then I thought, well, this is weird. I'm a songwriter and recording artist, and I have all these song ideas coming out of this. And I thought, well, I wonder if I could do that too. And they agreed. And so it's this massive project that we've been working on for 2 years. So I don't know whether I'm more excited about what God's going to do through the project or if I'm just more excited about being done with it. I know that my family's ready for me to be done with it.
That's fantastic. Obviously, the song is, as so many of your tracks are, it really does take you on a journey and take you inside this invitation to let go and to give up. At the very end of the song, then you include the famous line from the old hymn, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Why was that a phrase that you wanted to put right there?
I think just at the end of the day, that's really the most simple prayer we can pray. When we think about who we are, every single one of us, you know, as believers would say, I belong to God. I have been bought by the work of Christ on the cross, and now I am no longer my own, but I belong to him. And so even though we'd all say, my life is his, there's something about coming to a place where we say volitionally, no, really, my life is yours. take my life. I belong to you, and I want to be about the things that are closest to your heart.
I love that you just used the word volitionally. By the way, can I just say that? Kudos on that. That is beautiful. Please feel free to call me here if I'm completely off base, but your songs have always had this lyrical depth of meaning. It's always called to mind to me, as somebody who loves the legacy of hymns, that It makes a lot of sense that she probably loves hymns as well. Is that fair to say? Do you have a special affection for hymns?
Oh, absolutely. I love hymns. And so part of my job at the church is to pour into these younger worship leaders. And the things that I'm always just, there are a few things that they just get so tired of hearing me say over and over and over again. One is, you know, value the old hymns. They are what the church has been singing for hundreds of years, and there's so much great truth from that. And just a call to them for intentionality as they're planning a service. Don't just do that song because yada yada recording artist that you like, you know, is singing it. You know, what is God trying to do in our service and on this day at this time? What is God wanting his people to sing to him? And so, I'm always calling them towards intentionality. And yeah, that's way off base, but I just felt like telling you that.
No, that was perfect. That makes perfect and expected sense in a way, I would say there. All right. Well, we'll circle back to where you can find the song and to where you can grab a copy of the book in just a moment. There's so many incredible nuggets inside the book. We talk so much about reconciliation, about being reconciled to each other, about finding forgiveness, and about finding harmony and peace in our relationships. You make the point that surrender to God really is the key to reconciliation with others as well. Can you unwrap that just a bit? Because that's huge.
Well, absolutely. If you look at a passage like Ephesians 2, where it talks about, you know, we were strangers, we were alienated, and God, through Christ, has reconciled us with himself. Well, the first 10 verses, you know, people are pretty familiar with. But actually, the back half of that chapter talks about, since we have been reconciled with God, we must offer reconciliation to each other. We must offer forgiveness to those who, you know, that it doesn't make sense for us to have received such an amazing gift, such a substantial gift of what Christ did for us then to live unreconciled with each other.
Wow. There it is. All right. Well, wow. What a blessing this conversation has been to have Laura Story with us today. Of course, you know the songs Mighty to Save, the songs Blessings, but the new single, I Give Up, is available now. The book of the same name releases across the land on Tuesday, and we have 3 copies of the book to give away. If you would love to enter a drawing for the book, you can head to myfaithradio.com. Just look for On the Road and send us a note right there. And of course, I'm sure available wherever fine books, wherever fine music is sold, Laura. But if people do want to find a central place to learn more about you and keep up with all that you're doing, where should they go on the web?
Yes, absolutely. Check out laurastoremusic.com, or if you're into Facebook or Instagram or any of that kind of stuff, be careful because I have a lot of cute kid pictures on my Instagram account. So if you do not like looking at adorable kids, if you don't want to see my chunky baby, my little Michelin man chunky baby, then don't go to my Facebook page. But if you do, they're pretty cute. I'm a little biased, but I think they're pretty cute.
Well, we wouldn't have it any other way. What a treat to meet you verbally. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, and thanks for all that you guys do. What a blessing you guys are to your community.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.
here's my life to take. Though you've heard this prayer a thousand other days, make this moment more than just empty words I say. Let it be a start to know the fullness of my Father's heart. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee.
Thank you so much for listening. Programming like this is available through your support, and you can learn more about partnering financially at myfaithradio.com. We'd also love to hang out with you during the week on Facebook and on Twitter. Just search for On the Road with Ryan Thomas. Talk to you again soon.